Good morning. If you would open your Bibles and turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. This morning we're going to look at three different points in Joshua's life. And they are things that we all know, and that we've all heard, and things that are very important to us. And what we discover in Numbers chapter 13, it is after the children of Israel, after Moses had sent spies into the land. And they came back and they presented what we call and what the Bible refers to as an evil report. And in verse 25 of chapter 13, it says, When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. And the Hittites, and the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, they are all living in this land." And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw are men of great size. And there also we saw the Nephilim," that is, the sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, "and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight." So we were in their sight. So what had they done? They had taken their eyes off of the Lord. Only thing they could see was what was in front of them. These people knew about what God had done for them. And yet they had forgotten. And all it did was to take a few scary looking people to cause them to shrink back. Verse 1 of chapter 14, "Then all the congregation lift up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. And why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' And so they said to one another, 'Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' But all the congregation said, 'To stone them with stones.' And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel." What a sad state of affairs. They should have been able to remember what God had done. But only two people, Joshua and Caleb, stood up and said, "We can do it. We can overcome." With God on our side, we can accomplish this. He will deliver them to us, into our hands. And so what we find is what Joshua and Caleb do. They demonstrate their faith in the Lord. I believe. They believe that God can do what He says He can do. God is powerful. Our God is faithful to bring us into the land that He had promised to our forefathers. He is going to give that to us. All we have to do is act. All things are possible with God. All things are possible. These people forgot about that. And as a result of that, many of them would not enter into the land that God had promised them. And that's really sad. We have to learn how to stand like Joshua if we are going to be counted faithful to the Lord. And so he and Caleb stood up. They defied the people. They stood up for the Lord. It's almost like what they were giving was a halftime speech. And they were encouraging them. Look, we may be down by several touchdowns, but we can do it. And by the time you walk out of the locker room, the coach had worked his magic, and by now they all believe that they can actually overcome. Well, Joshua and Caleb did their best, but the people wouldn't have any part of it. And so they lost. And they lost more than they would ever know because they failed to follow the Lord. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. This is the second thing. The first one had to do with their faith in God when they came out of the land that they were sent to spy out. The fact that they believed that they could overcome despite the opposition. The second thing is found in Joshua chapter 1. It says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' servant. And he said, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel.'" Giving to them. Not going to, but giving to them. "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you." Verse 6. "Only be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Verse 7. "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." That's twice. He said, be strong and courageous. But that's not the only two times. He's telling them, you stand. You stand your ground. You do what I've asked you to do, what I promised to give you. Be strong and courageous. Four times in chapter 1, he mentions that. Four times. We have a tendency to say when somebody is repeating something, we say, well, he sure was repetitive. I wonder if they thought about that with reference to Jehovah. You know, he's really repetitive. We've heard this before. But four times he says to them, be strong and courageous, and I will not forsake you. I will be with you wherever you go. Our God. Our God who is a powerful God. And so Joshua delivers to the people what God has said. Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. When you will make your way And then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then, verse 16. The people answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now this speech got the right reaction. We will do what you say. We will, like we would follow Moses, we will follow you. Be strong and courageous. And the Lord goes with you wherever you go. It's a great idea and a great concept to think in terms of the fact that God is with us. And because God is with us, we don't need to cower in face of the opposition. We need to be strong and courageous. We need to dare to stand like Joshua if we are going to be the people that God would have us to be. Now turn to Joshua 24. Joshua is dying. This is his last speech. These are the last few things that he gives to the children of Israel. In verse 1, notice what he has done. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. So, who did he call together? The elders, the heads, the judges, the officers, all of those that were in positions of leadership, all of the heads of the tribes, of the families, he called them together. In verse 2, Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods. In other words, they came out of idolatry. Remember that. Think about where they, from which they had come. Verse 3. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. And to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down into Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and he brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who lived beyond the Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and he summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you and delivered you from his hand. And he crossed the, and you crossed the Jordan, came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out two kings of the Amorites before you, but not by your sword or your bow. And I gave you a land of which you had not labored, cities which you had not dwelt, built. You have lived in them, and you are eating of vineyards and olive yards which you did not plant. He was reminding them, number one, what God had done for them. The history of how God was with His people and what the result was. He reminded them that whatever it was that they had was not theirs. They didn't build it. They didn't do it. God is the one that did that. They're eating of things that they did not plant. They are enjoying the fruit of what God has done. In verse 14, he says to them, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served from which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What Joshua is saying to them is that it doesn't matter what form the idols take. Any idol. And he talks about it from the standpoint of those that were beyond the river and the Amorites in the land. It doesn't matter. You choose whichever idol you want to follow, whatever gods of the heathen people that you want to follow. The choice is between that and choosing to follow God. That's the choice. Those are the only two options. There aren't any others. And God is good in the sense that He has a tendency not to confuse us about things, because He will give us a choice. Not between three or four things, but between two things. There's always the choice between two. You either serve idols or you serve me. And you have to decide. Verse 16, "And the people answered and said, 'Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went, and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all of the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord. He is our God.'" They declared that. The thing that is interesting in what is being said here, if you go back to verse 1, the people that he brought together were the heads of families, the people that were in leadership position. And he asked them, he says, "All right, who are you going to serve? You serve either God or you're going to serve these heathen idols. That's your choice." And he says, "As for me," Joshua is making a declaration, the same kind of declaration that the heads should make, the same kind of declaration that we should make. "As for me, as the head of my house, as the head of my family, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is a choice and a decision that the heads of all the families had to make. And they were making it not just for this the one person to whom was representative of the families and the tribes. He said, "You decide." And when you decide, you're not only making the choice for you, but you're making the choice for your family. You are choosing for them. Don't forget what God has done. You are responsible for the choice. And so he says, "As for me," and then he broadens it and he says, "and my house." Okay, who is in your house? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Okay, Marty, who's your house? All the people that are sitting there with you. "As for you and your house, you will serve the Lord." Jeff, who are the people in your house? You choose. You're choosing for them. "As for me and my house, And every head of the house has to make the choice, the declaration. And they are choosing for the entire house. As for me and my house, we, that is all of us, are going to serve the Lord. So what does that mean? We're going to serve the Lord. Does it mean that when it comes time to get ready for services, we're going to have a meeting? And we're going to call everybody in our family together and we're going to say to them, okay, look, we got to decide. What do y'all want to do? You want to go worship God this morning or not? You want to serve God or not? That is not what happened. Joshua spoke for his family. As for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. The question I have today, and that we all should ask as heads of our families, is that the choice that we made? You see, we make choices even though we think we haven't made a choice. Because every choice or every non-choice is still a choice. And we have to decide. And you see, we make choices by our actions, just not by our words. And I think sometimes we forget that. I don't mean to be picking on Marty, but he's visible here. I know, you know, his family life. And when he chose to serve God, it wasn't just for him. It was for Karen and all of the children. He was deciding as the head of his house. And if he had not decided verbally, and if he had just been doing it by example, they would still get what he was trying to do. Just like if he chose all of a sudden not to say anything, but to not go to worship God, not put God first in his life, his family would pick up on that. And he would have chosen for his house against what God had said. You see, it's not just verbal choices that we make. It's by our actions. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Sometimes we think we're doing our kids a big favor. By the time they get to be 12 or 13 years old, we have got this list of things that now we are going to make them choose. And then we say to them, okay, whatever you choose, you have to live with the consequences. Well, also, whatever you choose, your father has to answer for that. As the head of his family. But we seem to think we're giving them, we're really helping them. Children live in our homes for a reason. God has established a family for a reason. So that they can be guided and they can be taught. And their parents can be with them as they grow until they get ready to leave or to get married, but out of that house. And while they are being reared, it is our responsibility to teach them by example and by word. And we must every day say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are going to attend every service. We are going to attend everything possible that's going to build me up spiritually. We are going to make sure that our children do that, regardless if they want to or not. Yes, they're going to have to answer to God for their choices, but so do I. Because I'm the head. I'm the one that's responsible. Joshua got it. He knew that. And he was choosing for his family and for him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, the reality of life is that parenting and education is a lifelong endeavor. It is not something you do once and it's done, or twice. It's not something that is done up to a certain point and then you wipe your hands of the whole thing. It's there. It's a lifelong. Jesus was clear about the point that he made when he was talking with the Pharisees, who failed to honor their father and their mother. That's their grown parents. They failed to honor them. They had a responsibility
long into adulthood.
We as parents, long into adulthood,
we are supposed to be teaching our children,
showing them the right way, serving the Lord daily.
We were with some people this last weekend that were lamenting the fact that we are living in a culture in which people are not taking service to God seriously. And people are abandoning the responsibilities that they have.
And it is sad, because we all have to stand before God. We all are going to have to give an answer.
You choose whom you will serve. Now, if we talk about serving the gods across the river,
the gods that your father served,
like Abraham's father,
whatever an idol is in your realm, whatever you choose to make an idol that comes between you and God, you have got a choice. Is the idol athletics? Is that what it is?
I've got to either choose. I'm going to honor and I am going to bow down to athletics, or I'm going to serve God. What is it? What am I going to do? I have a choice.
What do my kids see in what choice that I make?
What do my children see in me on a daily basis?
Do they see us pray? Do they see us worship? Do they see us help people? Do they see all of those kinds of things, which is all a part of serving God? It's not limited just to these four walls.
But if we want our children to grow up spiritually healthy, then we need to give them a spiritually healthy example.
They need to see it. And we need to help them see it. And we can't afford to abdicate our responsibility in that realm. They are the next generation. Our job is to declare the word of the Lord to the next generation.
Just like what Joshua did before he died, he was recounting all of the things that God did for the children of Israel.
He didn't want them to ever forget what God had done, that He is a great God. He is a good God. He hears His people when they cry.
He wanted them to remember that, because He wasn't going to be there to remind them any longer. I remember when Jim Everett, I don't know how many of you know him, passed away several years ago.
He knew that he was dying. And he knew that he had a short time to remind his children about what their responsibility was. And so he called his children together. And he sat and he talked with them, along with his wife, about what was important.
And about how important it was for their example to be seen by others as those that serve God. That they were to continue to teach
their children. But he took the opportunity, much like Joshua did, to remind them. We need to be reminded what God has done for us. We need to be reminded what our role and what our responsibility is. Because we can forget.
God knows that. God repeats things for a reason.
Be strong and courageous, and the Lord will go with you. He will not forsake you. 4 times in one chapter,
God speaks to remind them. When Peter wrote
to the people, that to the Christians, he reminded them.
He says, I'm writing to call you to remembrance. All of the things that God has said and what God has done.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about you? Are you serving the Lord? As parents, are you? Have you made a choice to do that? As fathers and husbands of your home, have you said, for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord? And a little caveat to that would be, it doesn't matter what my children say or what they want to do. I'm responsible before God. I have to choose. It's my house. I have to choose to serve the Lord for my house.
Fathers, don't ever forget how powerful and how strong your influence is.
We do not live in a world of isolationism. Our lives touch other people. We want them to be touched by the King. And the only way they can be touched by the King is if we live for the King. And if we serve Him in everything that we do. Because He's promised to be with us wherever we go. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian,
the King is not with you.
You haven't chosen to give your life over to Him. You have to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to worship Him? Is He going to be Lord of your life? Are you going to obey Him, knowing that He's the Son of God? Repent of your sins. Be baptized as He has commanded. He's the King. That's what He has commanded. It washes away all of your sins. You start fresh and clean. Or as a child of God, if you need help, if you need us to pray with you or for you, we'll be glad to do whatever we can to help. Won't you please come while we stand and sing?